In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, for years, we've listened to Jesus in the Gospels, and it finally dawns us that Jesus hardly ever gives a straight answer. Jesus is always inviting people into the kingdom, but when someone finally asks him, "What is this kingdom you are always talking about?" And we see him pause. He thinks for a moment, and then he says, "Well, it's like a man who had two sons." Or, "It's like a man who was blind and was given his sight." Jesus is always telling stories, suggesting images that hint at more than can be said. And as we consider Jesus and his stories, we start to picture the response of his hearers, those who surround him originally, and you, and me. I can see some of us stop short, knowing that there's something there in the image of the parable, though we can't say what it is. Quietly, we open our hearts to what Jesus has said, and we go away pondering it. I can see us going back to it year after year after year. The kingdom of God is like the man who found a pearl. And gradually this changes our hearts. The reality of the kingdom starts to seep into our lives, and we live within the story. Today in this gospel, we have such a story. Unfortunately for us, this parable has lost its original impact. It was carefully crafted by our blessed Lord to upset his audience and to challenge his listeners. The parable we heard today would have been shocking, very shocking to Jesus' audience. The idea of a good Samaritan was completely foreign to them. The Samaritans were descended from the northern Israelites that we heard about in our first lesson in Amos this morning. They had intermarried and intermingled with foreigners after the Assyrians had conquered that region some 750 years before Christ. As such, first century Jews considered Samaritans to be non-Jews whose religious beliefs had been contaminated by their foreign foreign ancestors. Thus, it's highly unlikely that any of Jesus' Jewish listeners would have considered a Samaritan to be a neighbor. In fact, in strict reading of Leviticus 9:18, the command to love your neighbor as yourself means your fellow countrymen only. Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of this parable in order to change the focus of the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus does not define who is or is not a neighbor. Instead, he describes someone who acts like a neighbor. The Samaritan saw a man in need, and he helped him without hesitation. That's a neighbor. According to Luke, the lawyer's question was really a trap. Knowing what was in the man's heart, Jesus turned the tables on him by telling him a story about a Samaritan who did the right thing when other experts in the law, like himself, the lawyer, didn't. Jesus made it clear that it doesn't take years of study to know how to love God and to love your neighbor. It just takes the courage and the humility to do what is right. You know what? Some of Jesus' contemporaries called him a Samaritan because they considered him a heretic and the breaker of the ceremonial law. But be that as it may, this Samaritan in our story may have been theologically unsound, but he was an honest man. He alone was prepared to help. The love of God was in his heart. Holy Protection Monastery in Geneva, Nebraska, has produced among its many icons a beautiful representation of this parable. It shows Christ lifting the wounded person on his own beast, consoling him with his left hand on the person's left shoulder. And further down the road go the priest and the Levite toward the inn, which looks like it could be a church. Because in the church, the law and the prophets find their complete fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, said St. Paul in Colossians, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creatures, and it is he who is the head of the body, and that body is the church. Today's readings challenge us to open wide our hearts and our communities, as God has done, to include every kind of person as our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? When Jesus responds to that question today, his story response tears open closed communities. It breaks down boundaries and breaches all borders. Parables do have a radical shock value. The response of Jesus to the question about neighbors is another way to explain the great commandment to love. This command, the word of God, is not far away, but so near, so neighborly, that it lives on our lips and in our hearts. The startling love that Jesus asks of us is certainly to love the neighbor, a growing reality in our nation of immigrants, especially in this day. We are also to love and come near, unlike the priest and the Levite, who turn away from the beaten among us, the dirty, the stripped and the ragged among us, the homeless in our neighborhoods, and the homeless pieces of our own hearts. The command is powerful, inclusive, and it calls each and every one of us to participate. First, this word, this command, is neither the Ten Commandments nor the 613 laws delivered to the Jewish community, but one. Granted, it's not easy to welcome and love a stranger, the neighbor, the family, the friends, but it is simple. Secondly, God knows truly how to love. God both reveals and shares love so that we may learn to love, to welcome, to include, to provide hospitality and healing for one another. We are engaged in a learning process that takes a lifetime of learning how to love as God loves. In this parable, Jesus is offering us a new image of God. Who is the neighbor? God. The commands of God were God's self-revelation. Who then is the Word, so very near in our hearts and on our lips? God. The neighbor and the command to love are both embodiments of God's own self. God is so aligned with the outcast that God is like a Samaritan, a hated foreigner come to find us, beaten and abandoned on the road of life. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He is the healer beyond all compassion. Because of our disobedience and rebellion, we do not deserve to live. But Jesus gives us life. We should be punished for our sins and disobedience, but Jesus took our punishment upon himself and died on the cross. Because Jesus has set the example, we are encouraged to provide forgiveness and walk with those in need. We look to Jesus for guidance and dependence in his wonderful grace. Like the Good Samaritan, this traveling God has been tending us and healing us, often unrecognized, all of our lives, young and old alike. We are those who have been thrown to the road in the desert, stripped by sorrows, robbed of peace and joy. perhaps even our friends who hurry by, busy with their lives. Sometimes God seems so foreign to us that we do not recognize God or our own wounds. And yes, sometimes we don't even recognize ourselves. So we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Then we may not have the abilities to take care of others. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. So we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. This means we need to treat ourselves fairly also. We need to give attention to ourselves. What needs healing in our lives? What needs encouragement? What needs to be changed? What needs improvement? What needs to be further developed? If we know how to treat ourselves with goodness and mercy, then we'll be able to extend that to all of our neighbors. But if we don't know how to take care of ourselves, then we may not have the abilities to take care of others. If we don't know what needs to be changed in our lives, or if we cannot make changes, then it will be very hard for us to help other people. Thus, the command of the Lord asks us for completeness for ourselves. We need to give total attention to what we need. And we have to give totally to others. We can then give totally to the Lord. We first come to the Lord completely, giving all that we are. He knows our needs, our failures, and yes, our achievements. He understands where we are. And if we come to Him totally, then He gives us what we need so that in turn we can reach out to others. Today we're called to acknowledge Christ in the Eucharist, to receive His body and blood, to become neighbors to others completely and totally.